The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Shortly after 5 o'clock today, we took a break from electoral politics because we spoke to Fiona Toomey. Fiona's the CEO and founder of HUG. They are a suicide prevention charity, and HUG.ie, actually, I just want to mention, because they've got a national remembrance service happening this Sunday, which Fiona was keen to let people know about. So that's HUG with two G's, HUGG.ie. And that's happening this Sunday, like I say. You can find all the detail on that website, but that's not ostensibly what she was here to talk about. She was talking about a whole host of things, about the services they provide and about her own daughter's experience. So Millie in 2016 took her own life, and when she did, she had been waiting for intervention from the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services, CAMHS. Here is Fiona in the last hour on this show speaking about how she feels now, 8 years on from her own daughter's death, when she hears stories about other children still waiting for intervention.
It's heartbreaking. You know, it's utterly heartbreaking. There are some excellent people working within the services, and I'm sure it's utterly frustrating for them also. But, you know, if the government, whichever government comes into power next, ensures that the 49 recommendations that were made by the Mental Health Commission when they reviewed the CAMHS service, if they implement and ensure those 49 recommendations are implemented, go a long way to resolving some of the problems within CAMHS. You know, we get great reviews that are done, independent reviews that are done, but let's go and make sure that the recommendations are actually implemented. And so that will make a difference.
So that was Fiona Toomey speaking earlier on the show. Dr. Kieran Moore is with me. He's a medical paediatric consultant liaison psychiatrist and an associate professor of psychiatry in UCD. Kieran, you're welcome to the show.
Thanks very much
for joining us. Would you describe the service as fit for purpose at the moment,
No. The
CAMHS service?
No, I wouldn't.
Why?
Because it's not doing what it's supposed to do. It's not overall providing assessment, but particularly treatment for children who are in trouble. I'm not blaming practitioners. I worked in CAMHS myself for many years. But I am saying that we really need to seriously relook at the way we're doing things. I suppose, to me, if it's all right, you know, I think we need to, not everybody will be happy with what I say, but we need to go back, root and branch, the usual kind of stuff. We need to separate mental health from mental illness, and there is a difference. And I think people who have mental illness, there's a kind of reverse stigma in the idea that they don't necessarily suffer, they don't necessarily have an illness that needs treatment. And I think that the whole idea of CAMHS was that they would treat children who are more severe, that are going to need medical input, like psychiatric input. But what we're doing now by calling it mental health is that we're putting everything in together, and it's not fair on patients. So in terms of what I would do, to be honest, I think we should look at something that works. So, and I'm not trying to make this all into a medical condition, but if we look at something like asthma, which to me is the most, everybody knows, or most people know about asthma, which is an illness. So if you can't breathe and you have asthma, you go to your GP and he or she treats you with a medication. Now, the GP does not say, okay, well, I'll see you, I'll put you on a waiting list and I'll see you in 2 years' time. He does not ask you to fill up a form, or she does not, to come in. He or she sees you when you need to be seen. And if he or she can't deal with it, he'll refer on to an outpatient consultant in a hospital. And he or she, depending, with the team that's with the consultant, will then treat more in more detail. And that would be the equivalent of CAMHS. But that consultant does not say to the GP, well, hold on a second, I'm reading your referral and I disagree with you that the child has asthma, because I know more by reading the letter. He or she sees the patient. So look, I don't want to take the whole time up, but, and then if it's worse than that, the child would be admitted to hospital and treated. And if it's worse than that, they go to intensive care. And there's an easy, understandable pathway up and down. It doesn't always work fantastic, you know, it doesn't always work brilliantly, but it does work. So the equivalent would be to say what we're doing with mental health at the moment is that somebody comes in and has a problem, generally nobody will see them acutely. The HSE operational guidelines say if you're in trouble, go to your GP or an ED. Most GPs are out the door. They may have some psychiatric training, most of them do, but they have no capacity to do anything. So they send the child into a general paediatric hospital where they're seen by a doctor or a nurse who has no expertise. They're very good at general medicine. They have no expertise in psychiatry. And then if they can't deal with it, they admit the child to a paediatric hospital where there is no there's no expertise. And, you know, some liaison psychiatry do work in a hospital, but the nurses are trained for asthma, they're trained for cancer, but they're not trained for mental health. And then if the child needs to go to a more, the equivalent of intensive care, which would be, which are these CAMHS inpatient units, the equivalent would be, first to get into them, there are very few beds, but the process is unbelievably difficult. It takes a long, long time. You have forms to fill up and there are various exclusion criteria. So the equivalent would be that if you, with the child with asthma, say, we can't actually treat you because we don't have the resources or we don't have the teams, so we're going to admit you to a psychiatric hospital where nobody knows how to treat asthma. Now, people will disagree with me on this, but it's the same thing. Nobody knows how to treat asthma, but we'll put you into the psychiatric hospital because we have no beds in the paediatric hospital, you know. And if that were to happen with asthma, I hope I'm making sense, there would be an absolute outcry.
Yeah.
So, look,
why does it happen with mental health, mental illness?
I think
the way you describe it, it sounds like the classic thing of the camel being a horse designed by committee, that people kind of sat down and came up with these pathways
because
make any intuitive sense.
Yeah, in fairness, it's much more subtle. There's a whole spectrum from, and that's the concern I have about the overarching term of mental health, is because there is a difference, like in asthma, between somebody who's running around and just needs an inhaler and somebody who needs to be in intensive care. There's a difference between, mental health difficulties, which is really important, but they don't need to be seeing a specialist doctor. They need to be seeing services like psychologists, primary care psychologists, and others, service. And there's great work being done there. But they need to see people according to clinical need, not, 3 months down the line with a big, massive referral form, as may happen, say, for instance, in CDNT, which is the Disability Network Service.
Yeah.
And, then the more severe patients then should be seen by medical doctors like myself who have an expertise in psychiatry. Because, this is not me just talking. Patients who have, or children and patients and all of us who have serious or psychiatric illnesses, and by that I mean schizophrenia or bipolar affective disorder, die 15 years earlier than their peers. That is not a mental health problem. That's a mental illness. And the treatment of that is, it's not perfect, but it is primarily medication. And when I say primarily, I don't mean only medication, but
yes,
it needs to be in it. But there, you do need a medical doctor. And if you're going to do that, that medical doctor needs to hang out with other medical doctors, where if they need ECGs and bloods, etc. And then the mental health then can be dealt with, say, an equivalent of CAMHS in the community. But if it were me, I would put all the mental illness in a hospital. And to be honest, the reality at the moment is we have 4 inpatient units around the country. We're supposed to have 100 beds. They're not able to deal with that at the moment. They're in the middle of nowhere, with due respect, compared to hospitals. And so they're separate from a patient that walks in. Like if you're in a hospital, like paediatric, the patients are all around them. So you can't say no, and you can't give appointments months down the line because the patient is with you the whole time. So if it were me, I would make there is a regulatory difficulty because the Mental Health Commission and the government, obviously under the Mental Health Act, has said that an inpatient unit has to have what they call an approved centre.
Yeah.
But I would make the whole paediatric hospital an approved centre. Now, loads of people will disagree with me with this. But the reality at the moment is what's not being told by the HSE is they give the figures every year for the inpatient units, but
yeah.
nobody tells you how many patients are admitted to the paediatric hospital, which are in, even in Dublin, are hundreds every year. And there's no stats on that.
Mm.
So, that, you know, I don't think it's been done intentionally, but no, but it's not being brought out. So de facto, a lot of children are being treated in a paediatric hospital because they have nowhere else to go.
So if the starting point for your, as you describe it, root and branch reform is separating mental health
in
from
my
mental
view,
illness,
yeah.
Then what? Let's say you manage that and there's a kind of an acknowledgement that everybody kind of going through the same funnel is not working. Then what? Do you need then better kind of screening at the primary care setting to know who goes into what category,
yeah.
or how does it work? What's the next stage in that reform?
That's a really good question. And in fairness to the HSC, there is a national director who is looking at that, and they're, you know, I don't want to speak for them, but they're looking at no door will turn you away. So there does need to be, and that needs to have buy-in from everybody, so that when a referral comes in, instead of everybody saying no, you know, CAM saying no, you've got autism, we won't see you because we exclude autism. It's a bit like if you you've asked me, you can't breathe, but also you've diabetes. Sorry, we don't treat the answers. You've
yeah.
diabetes. You know, off you go, and then you go to the CDNT, as they call them. They say, well, it's too serious at the moment, or we don't have enough staff, which
yeah.
is true. We haven't the time, and also this particular case, even though the child has autism, does need to be seen by child.
Yeah, so this is, we've spoken to parents like this. They're getting kicked from disability yeah. services to mental health services over and back,
yeah,
over
so
and
it's,
back.
It's great, and it's, you know, you have talked to parents, and it's actually, you know, inducing madness, and I mean that respectfully, that you cannot get anybody to say yes. So people go to EDs, emergency departments, where actually they get seen by a consultant and they're looked after, but it's all wrong because they're admitted to a paediatric hospital. So to answer your question, that's, I think there does need to be that when a referral comes in, that there is local committees in different areas, and then there's a decision made as to where they go. But we do need to, I know one of the political parties, without being political, has talked about getting rid of CAMS. You can't just get rid of it. You need to be clear about what each area does.
Yeah.
So again, I would, as I said, then those that are have more likely an illness by depression, psychosis, ADHD, autism as well, that may or may not need a psychiatrist who may or may not prescribe. And there's lots of evidence for, and I'm not just talking about the medication, but it certainly needs a team, a multidisciplinary team. And I would put them in a general hospital. That's what I would do.
And then before I let you go, kind of resources, that's often an issue pointed to as well. I mean, do you imagine with those kind of structural changes you would improve the situation, or does there need to be an injection of extra resources on top of all of that as well?
There does. And
yeah.
I mean, you know, the embargoes that have come out haven't helped. But the biggest problem is recruiting and retaining, because people are out on their own in the middle of nowhere, again, with due respect, who, and it's just too, it's too difficult. They don't have peers, they don't have people that can talk to, and it's not, it's, you know, part of your job, you should be getting satisfaction out of it, and people don't. So if you have a bigger cohort, like I'm saying, a hospital, without patients, it's actually more interesting and more fun, but you do much more for your patients. That's my view anyway.
Kieran, thanks a million for popping into us. Dr. Kieran Moore is a medical paediatric consultant, liaison psychiatrist, and an associate professor of psychiatry in UCD.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.